right, what's up, y'all? I'm Phil Buck, and welcome to the first episode of AI Roundup. Is this the first episode? This all feels kind of familiar to me.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
I think there's a couple pilot episodes out there you can find. But okay, so this is the first official episode of AI Roundup. I'll be bringing you a weekly digest of AI-related stories to keep you up to date on this rapidly advancing technology. So with that, let's jump into our first story about AI art outrage. Art rage? Is that a thing? All right, in our actual impact story, after sending girl with a pearl earring out on loan, the Moritz House has hung an AI facsimile in its place. Fans are not happy. From artnet.com by Taylor Defoe, the Moritz House Museum in The Hague, Netherlands loaned out its famous painting, Girl with a Pearl Earring, to an exhibition, and in its place, it put up five interpretations of the painting created by art fans, including one generated by an AI artist named Julian Van Dyken, and it's called A Girl with Glowing Earrings. The use of AI to create the artwork caused some controversy among the museum's Instagram followers, with some commenters accusing the museum of disregarding actual artists and the ethical implications of using AI-generated art. The museum spokesperson defended their decision, stating that they purely considered what they liked and whether the artwork was creative. The museum had launched an open call for substitutes for the Girl with the Pearl Earring painting, receiving almost 3,500 portraits, and selected 170 to display in a digital frame and five others to be printed and mounted on the wall, including the AI-generated one. The success of Van Dyken's artwork has brought attention to the increasing popularity of AI art and its role in traditional art institutions. So I love this story. People are big mad at the Moritz House Museum for hanging up a single AI-generated piece of art. I wanted to cover this one because I think the headline, the story, is pretty misleading. I can see why people got worked up, because if they just saw these stories about it, you know, at first glance, it looks like, oh, well, they took this famous painting down and hung up an AI-generated one, which is not the case at all. What's really happening here is that they put out a call for all fans of this art to submit their own, you know, inspired version, and one of them happened to be the AI-generated one. I mean, if we're being honest, it obviously doesn't hold a candle to the original one, or should I say, glowing earring to the original one. But I do think it's something that we're going to continue to see again and again, right? It's not the first time we've seen this. There was another article that we covered in MSP Dispatch where an AI artist won an art competition with what they submitted that was generated, you know, by an AI, not by the artists themselves. I think there's a lot to unpack about this. Like, they say that it's disregarding actual artists, and I kind of take offense to that because, yes, everybody can take shots at people making AI-generated images saying, oh, all you did was prompt it. But a theme that you're going to hear again and again on the show is that the AI technologies that are coming out, they are just a tool for artists to use. And I don't think that just because you look at a piece of AI-generated art, or you look at the massive amount of AI art that's coming out, and you can say, well, it's not very inspired. And that's mostly true. As somebody that's spent a lot of time generating AI images, I can tell you that a lot of people are putting artistic intention behind what they're trying to create. And what is art, right? I mean, it's somebody expressing themselves, right? It's somebody that's trying to take a feeling and put it into some expressed form. And I don't think we should rule out that that can be done with AI tools in the mix. And it's very early. And I think a lot of, you know, what's going on is we're seeing just massive quantities of this stuff come out, and most of it's not inspired. And almost all of it's not good because the tool itself is not very refined. But I think that we can allow people to make art with AI-generated stuff. And on top of that, the other side of this is people are saying, oh, well, the ethical implications of this. And this is a conversation that we've had in the AI Roundup writer's room, if you will, where, you know, just to play devil's advocate, our creative director, Matthew Fox, said, well, you know, I think the problem people have with the AI image generating models is they were trained on a lot of stuff that, you know, the artists or the people that it was training on did not give their consent. You know, which is problematic. And I've talked about that on some of the in previous stuff. But I think that one of the things we have to consider is this is the same thing that humans do. They go out into the world, they look at something, they practice drawing it, whether it's a person or a house or a dog. None of those gave their consent for you to draw it. So there's a lot of implications about this that we're going to have to work out. I think for now, art fans need to just calm down, try not to get big mad at the museum for just hanging up one singular piece of AI-generated art. With that being said, I think we need to zoom out a little bit and let's take a look at this week's big picture story. Okay, so our big picture story this week is Hugging Face makes OpenAI's worst nightmare come true. From Analytics India Mag by Palumi Chatterjee, the field of generative AI is becoming increasingly competitive, with companies like Hugging Face and OpenAI vying for dominance. Last week, Hugging Face announced a partnership with AWS, Amazon Web Services, that will allow developers to work with any of the models available on Hugging Face using AWS managed ML service, SageMaker. The goal is to democratize AI by making generative AI models accessible to everyone, not just enterprises with deep pockets. Meanwhile, OpenAI has launched a new developer platform called Foundry that allows users to run their newer models on dedicated capacity, although the service is designed for cutting-edge customers running larger workloads. Foundry's prices are steep, even with the lightweight versions of GPT 3.5 costing $78,000 for 3 months. While the two companies appear to be pursuing different strategies, the competition in the generative AI space is clearly continuing to heat up. Eleuther AI has also entered the competition, announcing the formation of a nonprofit foundation called Eleuther AI Institute. So let's talk about this. This is a term that I hear a lot coming out with all these different AI technologies, which is the democratization of AI. And I think that's a wonderful sentiment. I don't think I see it yet. And I am really excited to see things like AWS partnering with Hugging Face, because I put out AI generated images. And of course, one of the most common questions I get from people is, how do you do this? You know, and I think it's difficult because when you're talking about democratizing something, obviously you have to have the resources to do this stuff if it's going to be truly democratized. And not everyone has access to a super powerful computer and GPUs and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's definitely ways that you can do this on remote servers, like with Google Collaboratory. But the thing is, even when you go that route, you still have to pay for those services, whether it's by the month or by the hour. So what we're talking about here as far as democratization is still in its baby infancy form, right? Like, as soon as I want to teach someone how to run Stable Diffusion, not only do they have to have a strong enough computer or internet access, but they also have to have the knowledge to run command line so they can install Python and et cetera, et cetera. So there's so many boundaries that exist here still. And so this is extremely important that, you know, we're seeing, okay, so Hugging Face is a company that offers, you know, image generating as well as a ton of other tools, AI-based tools. So it's really cool to see that they're partnering with AWS to make that easily accessible. It looks like something as simple as internet access could allow you to use these tools. The question still remains is, you know, is the cost going to be prohibitive for people to use this? It's yet to be seen. So let's keep an eye on this. Let's see. There's a lot of stuff online that is available for people to start generating images right now. But again, I always see that there are boundaries, whether it be cost, whether it be freedom. You know, a lot of these models that you use online, like DALL-E, you can't just do anything you want. And I'm not saying everybody should be able to do everything you want, but I do think as far as art goes, putting limitations in place, you know, again, it's prohibitive. So I don't know. I'm going to keep my eye on this. I'm super excited about the idea that this is happening, but I'm not going to get my hopes up until I see it in practice. And speaking of in practice, since we're talking about generating images, let's jump into a use case. This is going to be fun. All right, and in today's use case, we're going to be messing around with Stable Diffusion. A new extension just came out called Latent Couple. And for those of you that don't know me too well yet, I'm a huge fan of Stable Diffusion. It is an image generating AI. It is an open source and free one, which is one of the reasons I really love it. And if you'd like to maybe have a bigger conversation on the open source and free situations, make sure you check out the recent episode of MSP Dispatch where they touched on that. But yeah, I love it because being open source and free, if you do have the resources to install it and run it, it's great. Anybody can do it. And Also, being open source, there's a massive amount of activity happening behind the scenes, people developing really cool things like this extension, Latin Couple. What is Latin Couple? Well, if you've ever tried to generate images with Stable Diffusion, you will know that trying to put two ideas into one image can often be pretty difficult. For instance, if I were to try to prompt Stable Diffusion to make a beautiful woman and a blue robot, oftentimes what you get is a beautiful blue robot woman instead of two separate figures. What this Latin Couple extension allows you to do once you add it into Stable Diffusion is that you can subdivide the area where you're going to be generating your image. You can do that as complex or as simple as you want. For our use case, we're just going to divide the image into two spaces. So basically, when you create your prompt, first you'll make a general prompt for the full image. Then you're going to make a prompt for one side and then the other side. And I've got a bunch of them here that we're going to try. To throw it back to the earlier part of the episode, first we tried the girl with the pearl earring and a robot. And thank you to Matthew Fox and Juan Marcos Gomez for giving me a few other concepts to try. We did peanut butter and chocolate, humanized versions of them. And, you know, that's a Reese's cup right there. Peanut butter and jelly, of course, classic pairing. We got Ronald McDonald and Burger King. And then, of course, how could we forget? I'm in the Pizza Hut, I'm in the Taco Bell, I'm in the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. So to try this out for yourself, you can just go and install the extension Latin Couple. I would recommend doing this using the Automatic 1111 web UI. If all that is Greek to you, don't worry. Join our Discord where we can talk about all this stuff and how you can use this technology yourself. I'll put the QR code somewhere on the screen so you can scan it or just look for the link in the show notes. Jump into the Discord because I'm always sharing images that I like to make on my free time, and I would love to see what you're making. And you know, if you need some help or some tips to get started, we can do that in there as well.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane, worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
Okay, so before we sign off for today, I'd love to point you to some other shows that are releasing on the MSP Media Network. On Tuesdays and Fridays, we have breaking news from the MSP Dispatch. It's a fantastic source of business and tech news. They give an analysis on how these stories are affecting your work, so I would definitely recommend checking it out. Also, please be sure to check out The Tech Bar. That is a great show where you can kick back, forget about work, enjoy some time with your friends, hosted by Ray Orsini and Danny Laura. And we just put out a new episode recently with Paco LeBron and Rick Smith of MSP Unplugged. It's good stuff. And in case you missed it, a show I am proud to produce, 38 at 38 with Aaron Bolton, also premiered last week, and it's a show all about our most ridiculous work experiences, and it's a blast. So please check it out. I know I've got plenty of awful work experiences that I can relate to on that there. So that's it for our AI roundup for today. Please be sure to join the MSP Media Network Discord. Link is in the show notes. Got the QR code on the screen. If you're looking for us on social media, it's at MSP Media TV everywhere. You can look for us. If you have any questions, please email me news@mspmedia.tv. And you can also send us a voicemail, 833 MSP Network. All right, until next time, I am Phil Buck, and this has been your March 8th edition of AI Roundup. See you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.